organized.
Ma'am, shut up and use!
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM every single Monday through Friday.
Right. We ask only for 3 hours a night right after Tom Likas. We're here from 8 until 11 o'clock.
Yes. And we have a huge month ahead of us.
We really do have
when it comes to remotes.
Busy, busy, busy.
On March 20th, we'll be down at the Staples Center doing an Avengers game live broadcast. From Oh Nothing, just a suite, watching the Avengers play.
I caught a little bit of the highlights last night on Channel 2 News at 11. Jim Hill was playing some Avengers highlights.
Right?
Yeah, and I thought, oh, cool. Looks like fun. Looks like something I'd like to see in person.
All right, then we also have the Commerce Casino coming up at the 26th or 7th? 27th.
The Commerce.
The 27th, and that page will be up tomorrow, so look tomorrow on the website. And sign up for that's always a great event.
971freefm.com is the website.
It is always a premier event. And you know it is because a lot of station people show up.
Right, right.
A lot of people in sales, yes, and management. Everybody enjoys it.
And they like to play. They try to play if they can get in.
Yeah. Kick ass. And then on April 1st, not April Fool's, this, honest to God, we're on KCAL. At 8:35, 9:35, and 10:35 on their newscast. They've invited us back.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so a big, big month.
Can hardly wait.
Yes. And then I'll be out April 5th at the Santa Anita Derby, watching the horses out there.
Good for you, my friend. Enjoy yourself.
So that's the deal, everybody. It is 9 o'clock. That must be news with our little buddy Rob and everyone.
Now,
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile. Here's Robin with the news. Yeah.
All right, Robin, what's going on in the news, little buddy?
Such an exciting week for so many reasons.
I guess.
Well, first, I just want to give you some breaking news. Senator Obama is very excited about winning Mississippi.
Yes, he won.
And he did, in fact, win it. We have some audio of this. 0117.
All right, 0117. Obama, man.
It's just another win in our column, and we are getting more delegates. I'm grateful to the people of Mississippi for the wonderful support. And, you know, what we've tried to do is steadily make sure that in each state we are making the case about the need for change in this country. And obviously the people of Mississippi responded.
There you go.
Yeah, he did win Mississippi. He was far ahead in the polls there. Did very well over Senator Clinton.
What was the final count?
60-40, I believe. So that's a landslide.
Yeah, that's not good for your girl, huh?
Well, my girl got a few delegates out of it, and we'll see what happens. Again, the contest is not over.
Mm. And our sources say that the Clinton troop there did not expect to win Mississippi,
right.
So it's quite all right.
Right. Hillary's concentrating on Pennsylvania.
She factored that in.
Pennsylvania's coming April 22nd, and that's where she and Bill are putting all their eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Well, they're soon going to run out of, we didn't think we were going to win in that states.
Well, Pennsylvania is a big state where they're saying openly they think they will win, and I believe they will, and that could shift things. That could shift momentum, and it would be real good for her.
All right, Obama and Clinton, they continue. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes, well, Hillary Rodham Clinton said Tuesday that she disagrees with Geraldine Ferraro. This just happened for suggesting that Barack Obama only achieved his status in the presidential race because he is black.
Uh-oh.
Ferraro is a former New York congresswoman and was Walter Mondale's running mate when he was the Democratic presidential nominee in 1984.
And looked exactly like my mom, that in 1984, because I grew up in New York, she's a congresswoman from New York, people used to stop us like in supermarkets.
Is that right?
And ask my mom for her autograph. My mom was identical to her looking, especially in 84.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. It was so weird.
And who do they think you were?
Like her kid or something. My mom said, "No, I'm just a
Geraldine's kid.
I just live on Staten Island as my kid."
All right, we got audio on that?
Yes, she has endorsed Clinton and raised money for her campaign. And this is the audio of what Ms. Ferraro is in such deep water over. Geo 99.
All right, here we go. Geraldine Ferraro, ma'am.
John, between me and you and your millions of listeners, if Barack Obama were a white man, would we be talking about this as a potential real problem for Hillary? If he were a woman of any color, would he be in this position that he's in? Absolutely not.
Geraldine, are you playing the race card?
No, and that's the problem. Every time you say the truth, I'm the first person, John, and you know how honest I am. I am the first person who will say in 1984, if my name were Gerard instead of Geraldine, I would never have been picked as the vice presidential candidate.
Geraldine Ferraro. Geraldine, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Well, that's honest.
There she goes.
I mean, she says, look, she was picked because she was a woman and got a lot of media attention because she was the first woman on a national ticket. And I think her larger point that Senator Obama is getting an awful lot of media attention and got an awful lot of turned an awful lot of heads and therefore an awful lot of support because of the fact that he is the first major primary African-American candidate for the presidency. I think that has a lot to do with why the media is covering it so very much, right?
I think it takes a little away from what he's done, though. I mean, his accomplishments, going after Clinton and beating her in the delegates.
Yeah, but again, I think a lot of his support comes from the fact that he is a man who has a man of color, an African-American man who is a great role model, who has certainly defied the odds and accomplished and achieved great things. So I say to you, Dick Durbin, the like white guy from Chicago, who's the other senator from Illinois, if he were running, it wouldn't be as big a deal. But it's a big deal. Just as with Hillary, it's a big deal. Hillary is getting a lot of attention and got a lot of attention early on because she's a woman. Barack Obama getting a lot of attention, especially early on, because he's an African-American man. I think that the media responds to minority people, whether it be a woman or whether it be an African-American man, because it makes a great story.
All right. Sure. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes. Jim McGreevy's wife was on CNN recently commenting on the Elliot Spitzer situation.
Uh-oh.
As you may recall, she went through something similar when her husband openly admitted his homosexuality, and their marriage has since disintegrated. Here is some audio of the former Mrs. McGreevy. E-166.
All right. Here we go. McGreevy, man. Left his wife for the stick.
By the way, Mrs. McGreevy looked hot on CNN last night. I saw a little bit of that. She looked really pretty.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My heart just broke for her because I know exactly how she's feeling.
Geez, I wonder why he left for the stick.
Well, don't let the voice throw you off. She is very attractive.
My heart just broke for her. My heart just broke for her because I know exactly how she's feeling. It's always difficult to learn that the person you love has betrayed your trust, but it's a hundredfold that the difficulty is increased tremendously when you have to face it in such a public manner, and she's ridiculed and shamed in front of virtually the entire world.
Oh boy,
it's harder for her than for you.
I don't know if she was. Who do you think was more shamed? McGreevy's wife or Spitzer's
wife? It's hard to say because McGreevy's husband, the governor, was having a couple of different things going on and hired his lover and, like, arguably, although the one guy denied it, had a boyfriend.
I'm not even talking about the gay issue. I'm talking about the fact that McGreevy was in love.
Right, that's what I mean. And I think
Spitzer was just hitting the
I think it's easier. I think it's easier on someone like Governor Spitzer's wife. I think it's easier, for me at least, like in a relationship, if my girlfriend or if I were married one day and she came to me and she said, I just had a one-night stand. I don't even know the guy. I don't love the guy. It just happened.
Right.
I could take that much easier. That'd be very difficult. But I could take that over, I'm in love with someone else. I'm having an affair. I sleep with this I make love to this person. Right. I don't have sex with. That would be much harder for me to deal with.
Now, what if your wife said, hey, listen, I didn't mean for this to happen. It was a one-night deal. But I just got drunk at the Christmas party, And he was there with his Bada Boom shirt on, or Bada Bing shirt on. And I just love a guy who's, 5 foot two and wears a goatee. And she hit it with Jerry Wischowski. Would it be over?
It would be over. For Jerry and her. I am trying to produce! That's a well-grounded producer there. You know, at CBS Radio, they say in the big leagues here in Los Angeles that the tension and the pressure sometimes gets to people.
Right.
With Jerry as a producer, clearly not the case.
Yeah. All right.
I am trying to produce!
Yeah, that comes after a bad night at the Commerce.
The Commerce.
Yeah, he got a bad beat, and all of a sudden, this is him at work.
I am trying to produce!
Produce!
Hear the crack on produce?
All right, anything else in the news there, Robin?
Well, finally, Madonna was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What?
And paid tribute to people who encouraged her and even critics who panned her for helping drive her career. And we have a bit of audio from that. M176.
Here we go. Madonna, finally in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
35 years later, people are still encouraging me to believe in my dreams. What more could I ask for? There's a saying in the Talmud that for every blade of grass, there's an angel that watches over it and whispers, "Grow, grow." And I can still hear those angels whispering. And even the naysayers, the ones who said that I was talentless, that I was chubby, that I couldn't sing, that I was a one-hit wonder,
right?
They helped me too.
There she goes. Mm. All right, Madonna, finally, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Couldn't she have just given that speech without the last part?
Without
bringing up the Talmud.
Yeah, no, without, I mean, that's fine. That was a sweet passage, but, you know.
The ones who said that I was talentless, that I was chubby, that I couldn't sing, that I was a one-hit wonder, they helped me too.
I don't know if they did.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't know if they helped you or not.
She doesn't need anybody's
help. Does that really help when somebody calls you untalented, fat, and a one-hit wonder?
I don't think it would.
Doesn't it hurt?
I would think so. But maybe
isn't that the design of those comments?
But maybe what the material girl is suggesting, Tim, is that she let those words serve as...
Fuel,
yes. Adrenaline, inspiration, Robin, to do better and move on. That's the only thing I can offer.
Well,
does she have a new album coming out? Is that it? Is that what's going on?
No, she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with a bunch of people were inducted. I don't have the list in front of me, but John Cougar Mellencamp was inducted, the Coug.
Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff.
Gamble and Huff, right?
All right. Now,
Leonard Cohen and the Dave Clark Five.
All right. All right, let's go ahead and play this Madonna speech again with the Peanuts music in the background, because it does sound like Linus giving a speech. All right, here we go.
35 years later, people are still encouraging me to believe in my dreams. What more could I ask for? There's a saying in the Talmud that for every blade of grass, there's an angel that watches over it and whispers, "Grow, grow." And I can still hear those angels whispering. And even the naysayers, the ones who said that I was talentless, that I was chubby, that I couldn't sing, that I was a one-hit wonder. They helped me, too.
There she goes.
Oh, it's so classic. It's like the speech Linus. Is it Linus that gives a speech during the Charlie Brown Christmas?
I believe it is, yes.
The whole manger deal.
Yes, the whole thing, yes, the reading.
That's so classic. Doesn't it sound like it could be?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely obvious.
Lucy giving the speech?
It's obvious that she's reading.
All right, let's pretend it's Lucy. Here we go.
35 years later, people are still encouraging me to believe in my dreams. What more could I ask for? There's a saying in the Talmud that for every blade of grass, there's an angel that watches over it and whispers, "Grow, grow." And I can still hear those angels whispering. And even the naysayers, the ones who said that I was talentless, that I was chubby, that I couldn't sing, that I was a one-hit wonder, They helped me too.
Big round of applause. And lovely young lady.
Exit stage right.
All right. Anything else going on in the news, Robin?
Well, finally, I'll leave you with this. The longtime friend of Madonna, Iggy Pop, had some very warm words to say for his friend, the Material Girl. I 222.
All right. Here we go. Iggy Pop.
You make me feel shiny and new, like a virgin being touched. For the very first time.
He does not sing it.
Oh, Bubble.
Oh, my God.
Iggy.
You make me feel shiny and new, like a virgin touched for the very first time.
You could play the song. I'd talk it up, Jerry. But
all right. Here's here's Iggy Pop. Accepting his indoctrination into the, I guess it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, the induction ceremony.
All right, here's Iggy Pop later on that evening. Here's Iggy Pop, who was voted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, am I missing something?
And he got a big award.
Yep. He sure did.
And he was placed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it sounded something like this.
Lights, please.
Did it sound?
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel
all right, there he goes, Iggy Pop, everybody.
Oh, gosh. You know,
all
that,
right.
You know what? You know, hearing that brings tears to my eyes.
Unreal.
That is so sweet.
All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Oh, that's what's happening.
All right, Robin in the news, everybody.
What? From the Miracle Mile in Los Angeles, Robin with the news.
All right, gang. This comes out of Tel Aviv.
Hello. Tel Aviv, hello.
It's in Israel.
Yes, it is, the capital.
A former lawyer and media commentator who lost nearly $1 million from gambling is claiming in a lawsuit that the key casinos, which she played, had a duty to notice her compulsion and stop her.
Jerry, are you getting your defense ready? Oh, my gosh. Aurelia Margarita Tavares filed a $20 million racketeering suit in U.S. District Court in New Jersey.
Wow.
The suit names six casinos in New Jersey and one in Las Vegas.
Well, you can hear her playing.
Oh, there she is, yeah. I wonder how she's doing. Oh, she's down.
Oh, she hit a big one.
A total of seven casinos are named as defendants.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, how would they notice her if she was buzzing around all these casinos?
Well, I'm sure she was. I mean, if you're up to, you know, well, a million in gambling, if you're bouncing around seven different casinos, they probably knew her. I bet she had a casino host in all seven.
I guess she was gambling for days, huh?
Probably.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, it says the staffers saw her gambling for days without eating or sleeping. Well, how did they know if she was eating or sleeping when you're buzzing around different casinos? You know, a chick leaves for 3 hours, comes back.
Right, maybe she caught a nap.
Yeah, maybe she went upstairs. How is the casino going to follow her around and see what she does? The casinos denied doing anything wrong. I agree with them. AP reported that casinos responded to the lawsuit by saying, F you. What?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's different. You know, my initial reaction was, well, if a bartender knows somebody's drunk and they continue to serve them, are they liable? And I would say yes. But this is different because casinos, casino managers, casino supervisors, they can't keep an eye on everybody playing every machine or every table game on a casino floor. It's impossible.
But isn't part of addiction blaming other people for your addiction?
I think sometimes it is before you come to, before you admit you have a problem. I think there's blaming other people for your predicament sometimes.
Yeah. All right, gang, if you have an addiction, whose fault is it? Let's blast away on these mother effers who caused you that that addiction.
Yeah, causing you all this pain and suffering.
All right, what do you think about a chick who's blaming somebody else for her losses and her addiction?
But this is a chick we should try to hook up with Jerry.
Yeah, we could get together. Sing Havana Gila down at the bike.
Well, I don't know that she's Jewish. She's probably Roman Catholic. Aurelia Margarita Tavares. She might be a...
Oh, I just assumed she's from Israel. I thought, where was this from?
Oh, you know what? She's probably Jewish. You're right.
Former lawyer and media commentator from Tel Aviv. Maybe she's not. Who knows? All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. That gambling addiction, man, that's a big monkey on your back.
Whose fault is it?
Yeah. In my case, it's Jerry's fault. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Good night. Wait, I'm trying to have her news!
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Oh, let's get right into it. Money Talks. This is AC/DC. Kiss FM.
All right, gang. We've had a correction here. From Atlantic City, New Jersey. She was an ambitious lawyer, a TV commentator, who started going to Atlantic City casinos to relax.
Sure, that's why we all go.
Yeah, and soon was getting high roller treatment. High roller treatment. Can you say high roller treatment?
Can you say high roller treatment?
That included limousines whisking her from resort to resort. Look,
she was
that.
Treated like Tanya Roberts.
Come
basically.
On.
Basically, come on. She got the Tanya Roberts treatment.
It could happen.
Can you say high roller treatment?
Las Vegas is calling.
I
come
know.
On.
This lady answered the call, Tanya.
Aurelia Margarita.
But she could have won, right? I mean, it's not, Tanya, I mean, it's not a definite that she would have had to have lost. I mean, she could have won, right?
Yeah, could kick ass.
It could happen. Very good.
It could happen.
Jerry, I said,
even allowed to bring her dog to Vegas, I mean, to Atlantic City.
It could happen, yeah.
Sasha to the black deck, they was sitting in her purse. All right, here it is. But her gambling spun out of control. And before we said it was from Tel Aviv. It's not from Tel Aviv. We were just reading a Tel Aviv newspaper, and that's sometimes easy to do
sure.
when you're on the internet.
Sure.
You thought the story came from Tel Aviv, but it didn't. They were just copying AP on it.
Right. A news organization out of Tel Aviv printed the story that we were reading. Yeah.
But her gambling spun out of control. She said she would go days at a time at the tables, not eating or sleeping, brushing her teeth with disposable wipes, so she didn't have to leave the table. Well, there's a hot move. Hot chicks do that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. Jesus Christ.
Hey, you got that Chinese food. Are you going to use that that wet wipe?
I can't imagine. I mean, I enjoy gambling and I have spent hours, literally hours, at a single blackjack table.
Did you ever use a wet wipe on your teeth?
Never. Mm. I mean, when it comes time to go to the bathroom, when it comes time
to eat,
when it comes time to bathe or shower, I leave the table and go do those things.
That's why I dragged my wife to Vegas, because if it wasn't for her, I would be like this Margarita Tavares.
But you're a guy who is a sensible guy. You wouldn't blame the casino for your losses.
Never have. Never would.
I mean, you might get mad a little bit.
I get pissed at myself, not at the casino, though. Excuse me. Now she's chasing the longest of long shots, a $20 million racketeering lawsuit.
What is that? Was that Diet Coke?
No, it was...
It's heavily carbonated. Smells.
It was actually a combination of garlic pasta, 7-Up, and some nachos.
Oh, you know what? I'm getting the garlic now.
The high notes?
Yeah, now I'm getting the garlic.
All right. Anyway, they... let's see here. What was I talking about here? Oh, yeah, it is. Let me see. Six Atlantic City casinos are named, and one in Las Vegas, claiming that they had the duty to stop her compulsive gambling before she lost $1 million. Oh, boy. They knew it was going on for days and without eating or sleeping. I would pass out at tables. They had a duty to take care of me.
Oh, my God.
Whose duty is to take care of you, baby?
You're a grown woman.
You got to take care of your own duty, baby.
You got to drag yourself out of that casino, you
stupid bitch.
Wench.
Could have gone up to Jerry's room. Nobody's ever in there.
Yeah, you could have used Jerry's room or moved into Jerry's house in Lakewood, because it sounds like Jerry Wischofsky and Ms. Tavares would be a great couple.
Oh, yeah. They enjoy themselves. How did this woman get a hold of $1 million?
They're both dead broke.
Anyway, she says it's like crack, only gambling is worse than crack because it's mental.
Hmm. Well, crack's mental, too.
Creeps up on you and the impulse, and it's a sickness. Listen to what she's lost in her gambling days. Ready? She's lost her law practice. She lost her apartment. Mm. She lost her parents' home.
Biatch! Oh.
And she owes the IRS $58,000. She said she even considered swerving into oncoming traffic to kill herself. Jerry, please.
Well, that's very selfish.
Well, even at the end, this bitch was ready to take somebody, some innocent people out because of her stupid gambling addiction.
Well, you know, I'm going to add one. She lost her law practice. She lost her apartment. She lost her parents' home. And I'm guessing she lost a few hands.
Seven out.
Thank you.
Sorry, baby.
So long, dear. Can I color you up? Oh, there's nothing there? Okay. Well, go see your casino host. Maybe he'll give you a breakfast cup.
Tavares admits that she dipped into clients' escrow accounts to finance her gambling habit.
Oh, she was out of control.
Christ. Yeah. Oh, Babu. She was disbarred last June. That makes sense. And faces criminal charges stemming from those actions.
Oh, Babu.
She's trying to work out restitution agreements in order to avoid prison time.
Sure.
Her lawsuit names Resorts Atlantic City, Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino. Donald, did you ever see her in there?
You know something? I saw this story, Tim and Brian, of Aurelia Margarita Tavares, and I saw
her. Trying to take some of your money.
Well, you know, look, I saw her once or twice at one of my properties, and I saw she looked very, very tired, like she had been at the slot machine for a long time. And I said, sweetheart, I think it's time for you to hit the showers. And she said, oh, my God, Donald Trump, oh, my God, look at you, I see you on TV. I said, none of that. Forget it. Get away from the machine. You're losing everything. Time to go back to the room. I'll be more than happy to comp your room. And I'll also send up the most unbelievable shirts and ties you've ever seen, made by Philip Van Heusen.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to put together a line of shirts and ties, and I called my friend Philip Van Heusen, and the fabric, Tim, is so unbelievable. It's better than Friends.
Wow.
It's bigger and better than Seinfeld.
The shirts are bigger than Friends?
It's totally unbelievable. Better than The Apprentice. Shirts and ties.
Oh, Bob.
You're fired.
All right. Hey, look at this, man. He's not supposed to be here until 10 o'clock. Rick Dees, how are you, man?
Well, hello.
Hey, did you hear us talk about the story?
You know, I did.
Grabbing in?
I did, and I also heard AC/DC, which was great because I thought about radio for a moment.
What do you think about this chick losing $1 million?
Oh, Tim, I'll get right to it in just a second. Give me 10 seconds.
All right. Now, Rick Dees, by the way, works in the same building here, moving 90...
moving 93.9.
93.9 is upstairs. We're downstairs, so we get to run into him every once in a while.
Makes you move. Makes you get up and feel good. I heard Money Talks, and I thought that's a great musical tie-in to a story about a casino loss, so that was great.
Yeah, this woman lost $1 million.
Well, you know, I don't gamble.
You don't?
I don't, and I've told Julie over the years.
That's your wife?
I'm not sure who she is, but I've told Julie, she does live with me. I have told Julie that I don't gamble, and I would never, ever gamble. Brian Whitman, with whom I worked for, 14 years, man.
He gambles.
I feel like his dad sometimes, you know. I mean, right. I've known him since he was a kid.
Does he gamble?
He's a big gambler.
Right.
And a lot of people on my show, Paul Josephs, there's no S at the end of his name, but I always added one.
You do?
Yeah, Josephs. And he was a big gambler, and they'd go to Vegas all the time and gamble away, and I just can't believe it. But I'm so excited. Tim, first off, how is your dad?
He's doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
I love your dad.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And what I go all the way back to Cleveland with the Conways.
I bet.
Really do.
Madonna. Yeah, absolutely.
Give me a little Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So Jerry asked me what I wanted, and I just said a little Madonna. Just, you know, something. Not with a 100-second intro. I don't want to sit here forever. Here we go. 22 minutes before 10 o'clock. She's like a virgin.
Excuse me. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. This is posted March 11th. A famous actress was charged with possessing weed. We're not going to tell you who it is yet, but if you can guess, we're going to give you a prize. A famous actress that you'll all know.
Oh, no.
Was charged with possession of weed.
Is she in jail?
She was taken to jail, I believe, and then she was let go, and she's on 6 months unsupervised probation.
Oh, no.
We're going to give you a... Let's see what we're going to give you here. What the F? Oh, here. A copy of Lost Planet Extreme Condition for the PlayStation 3. Yeah. It's the 22nd century. The Earth is in ruins, and mankind must move on.
Yeah.
Rated T for teen, only from Capcom.
Only from Capcom.
All right, first person that gets it here.
Rated T for teen.
What story came out today? Major actress busted for weed. 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Everybody will know this person, if not by her legal name, you will know her by her character that she plays.
You'll know her character name. In fact, most people know her character name and not her legal name. That's true.
Yeah, I think I did know her real name.
Or her professional name.
I think I did know her legal name, but until you said it, it didn't, then it made sense. I mean, then I knew who it was.
Right, that's her name and her character name, and we all know who she is. We've all seen her on television. There's no doubt about it. And can I give a little hint?
Here, I'll give you a little audio hint. How about this?
Wow. All right. Make it as short as you can. That was real short.
That's the major audio hint for you, gang. There you go. That's the theme song to the big show she was on. Larry in Long Beach, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
How you doing? It's Dawn Welsh from Gilligan's Island.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour.
You ready for the thunder?
Here we go.
The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossing. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too,
yeah.
The millionaire and his wife.
It's lovely.
The movie star, the professor and
Mary Ann.
Mary Ann, Mary Ann, Mary Ann, Mary Ann.
There she goes.
Now, Marianne was busted for pot possession today. Can you imagine,
Well,
Tim,
she was busted in October. The story came out today.
Can you imagine, I'm sorry, can you imagine for all the years she spent on the island how crazy she was going with no weed?
Well, maybe there was weed out there naturally.
Maybe
that's why they all stayed so
maybe
long.
Little Buddy. I bet the professor, Russell Johnson, that would have been a great episode to have the professor start a hydroponics thing.
Dawn Wells, the actress that played Marianne on Gilligan's Island,
yeah, man,
was busted with marijuana in her car after driving home from her birthday party, in Idaho.
Oh. Wow. I see her in the bank sometimes.
How old do you think she is?
She looked very good in person.
How old do you think she is?
I think right now Dawn Wells is probably 65.
69. And?
Well, she looked younger than that, but I haven't seen her in a while.
She's hitting that weed after they blew out the candles, evidently. And Wells was pulled over on October 18th after a sheriff noticed her swerve across the center line and then repeatedly speeding up and slowing down.
Wow. Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, but maybe, or does it say in the report, was she...
old was she on Gilligan's Island then?
She had to be probably 20, almost 20, 25, you know, playing Marianne.
I wonder how old she was on Gilligan's Island. Oh, there he goes.
Jerry's moving to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Just look up what year they did Gilligan's Island, and I'll do the math in here, my little brother.
Google it.
All right, but anyway, so check this out. So she was searched and produced 4 half-smoked joints.
Whoa, in the car?
4 roaches, man.
In the car, man.
And 2 small cases to store marijuana. And then she blamed on hitchhikers.
Oh, likely story. Hey, by the way.
Even Gilligan wouldn't have believed that. That's from TMZ.
Hey, by the way, Gilligan, Bob Denver, who I believe has passed away, didn't he get in trouble for pot, too?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. There was something on that show, I guess. It was not that the skipper, Alan Hale Jr., and Natalie Schaefer, and Jim Backus, and Tina Louise, and Russell Johnson. How about that? I rattled off all the cast members.
Wait a minute. Was she's 69 now.
Right.
She was 36 in Gilligan's Island?
She could have been. She looked great.
Wait a minute. They did it in 1964. All right, 64, 74, 84, 94, 104. That's 44 years. All right?
Right.
So it's 69 minus 44.
25.
It's 25. I'm sorry. Okay. So she was...
25.
25 years old.
She looked beautiful. And by the way,
maybe that's why she looks so great. She's with the weed.
I must ask you.
Hey, also, Bob Denver, it says that he was arrested for having marijuana delivered to his home, and he originally said that the parcel came from Don Wells. But then he didn't name her in court.
That's nice. So they were. So that's kind of cool to know that they were weed buddies. By the way, got to ask you, Tim. Ginger or Marianne? I mean, every guy...
I don't know. Probably Marianne.
Oh, see, no, I'm a...
I get screwed both ways. Ginger has red hair, like my mom did.
Oh.
And Marianne is my mom's name. So I couldn't handle it either way.
You have to go with Mrs. Howell.
I'd rather go with Gilligan. All right. But anyway, it says here, Wells is now serving 6 months of unsupervised probation.
Living here in Los Angeles, I believe, unless she moved.
No, I guess she's still up in Idaho.
Because I saw her at the bank, and it was, I know it was her. I mean, I didn't ask her or bother her.
She pleaded guilty to 1 count of reckless driving and was sentenced to, last month, to 5 days in jail. Wow.
She had jail time?
And fined $410. Jesus Christ, that's a little strict up there when it comes to weed, huh?
For 4?
Don't smoke in Idaho.
For 4 roaches.
Yeah. 4 tiny little roaches.
In that car. What kind of car does it say she was driving these days?
It didn't say. With her, probably one of these, you know, hybrids. Yeah. A Prius packed with weed.
Right. The Prius weed. I think that's the new model.
Oh, Bobbo. Sitting around with those roaches, man. Oh, man. I'll never be able to look at Gilligan's Island the same.
Oh, I will.
You think?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I just always wonder if she's hopped up while she was doing the show.
Well, you know, I mean, one must think, and of course this is speculation, we have no proof, but if she at 69 is smoking weed, at 25 she had to be doing acid, right?
I don't know.
In Hollywood, a hot TV star, I mean, she must have been doing something.
Sometimes, though, when you get older and those knees start to buckle, the arthritis sets in.
Yeah, you feel more comfortable.
You feel like you can hit the weed. But, Marianne, man. What are you thinking? All right, gang. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. When we come back at 10 o'clock, it's Family Feud with the listeners.
No, not now, Louie.
Yeah, Louie, please, get out of here.
Hold on, I have my
questions. We're still talking about Don Wells. Get out of here.
I can't believe that. I love Don Wells.
All right, it's Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour.